faith. It's not your party. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. If you are into playing games with God, turn off your radio now. This is a program designed to help beggars tell other beggars where they found bread. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope your time of worship at your church was as meaningful as it was at my church, and that your pastor and his sermon meant as much to you as mine did to me. If you're just joining us and you kind of took last week off, being the first of the year and all, let me tell you what we're doing. We're taking a break from our Old Testament survey. We're going to pick up where we left off when I finished what I'm going to do for the next few weeks. And we'll start with Jeremiah and continue with the Old Testament survey. But given some of the mail that we receive and some of the difficulties that we're going through in our world, I thought it might be a good time for us to pause for a little bit and talk about pain and suffering and God and bad news and what do you do when the whole world falls apart. And so I'm going to take whatever time it takes for me to tell you everything I know on this subject, and everything I know on this subject comes from the Bible. And so while we'll not be looking at a particular text, we'll be looking at a bunch of texts. So you might want to have your Bible available if you're in a place where you can, as we look at rule breaking, or God, pain, and evil, and what the Bible says. Before we turn to that subject, let's pause for a moment and go before the throne. Father, sometimes it's really hard for us, and sometimes we have questions. In the middle of the night, when we think of our pain and our loss and the dreams that have been shattered, the times we've been hurt and rejected and disvalued, Father, we sometimes go through hard times, and we don't know where to go except to you. You're the creator and the sustainer of all that is, and we suspect that all of it has a relationship with you. And so we're here, Father, not because things are good, but because we are yours and you are good. Father, we're here because there's no other place to go, and we're here because we've discovered that you're sufficient. Father, meet us today and in our lives at the point of the needs that we have. Father, we're content to allow you to define those needs. If our tears cause us to see you better, may we continue to weep. If the brokenness we go through causes us to lean on you harder, may we remain broken. Father, we are your servants. Meet us, heal and cleanse and change if it's pleasing to you. Forgive, as you always do, and teach us to laugh the laughter of the redeemed. Father, we praise you and we worship you, and as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were listening last week, we spent some time to look at what the Bible says about an incident that happened before you were ever born. It's called the fall, when Adam and Eve did some really bad stuff from which we are all suffering. Now, this isn't the only reason for these things, but it is the primary reason. And we saw three implications of the fall, and that they were very important. The first is that we live in a world where the cosmos itself groans, where it is fallen, where things are bent. I sometimes wonder what it would be like to live in the Garden of Eden with the fall never having taken place. We wouldn't need funeral directors. We wouldn't need disaster relief. We wouldn't need garbage collectors. We wouldn't need banks. And the list goes on and on and on. Something's wrong with our world. It's bent. And when you know that as a Christian and things happen that are bad in the world, like the evil of the last few months, the war in which we're engaged, the people who die, the suffering that we see, you need to recognize that we live in a world where the world itself, the cosmos, is bent. And we saw it not only is the world that way, but we as human beings are that way too. If you expect that everyone is nice, that everyone wants what is best, that everyone is striving to be ethical and pure, then you are out of your mind and you haven't checked the Bible. We saw that there are two views of human nature, anthropological views, if you will. One is that we're really good people, but sometimes we make mistakes. And the other is that we're not so good people, but we would like to be better. And the Bible takes the second of those. And because it is true, and because human depravity is a reality with which we must deal, it has important implications to educational philosophy, has important implications to political philosophy, and it has important implications to the realities through which we're going right now. No Christian ought to be surprised with war. No Christian ought to go, I had such high hopes for our world, and look what's happened, because people are sinners. And then we meddled and talked about the fact that we are too. In Christianity Today, they had a wonderful piece, and I think it was written by Phil Yancey. But whoever wrote it, it was good. It says that we cannot prosecute the war on terrorism because we're wonderful people. We do it because it's something that needs to be done and must be done. But the truth is that we're all sinners, all of us, you and me also. And then we saw that the third implication that comes from the fall is not only the cosmos is bent and human beings are bent. This is all bad news, and I know it, but you got to hear the bad news before you hear the good news. Death is the ultimate result of the fall. Death isn't normal. When people say, looking into the casket, he looks nice, he doesn't look nice at all, he's dead. Death is not pretty, it's not natural, that's the reason we don't want to die. The good news is you're going to heaven, and the bad news is that you're going on Thursday. That's not good news. Nobody likes to die. It's a hard thing to go through, and it's not natural, and that's the ultimate result of the fall. Now, those things are given. I don't like them. You don't like them. I wish they weren't true. But if you're going to be a Christian, and if you're going to be a Bible believer, and you're going to look at the world the way it really is, I just told you the truth. Now, if you were listening last week, I gave you the text to go with the truth. Now, I know, but there's more of this. Do you hear the story about the doctor who called his patient and said, Jack, I've got some bad news for you, and I've got some really bad news for you. Good heavens, he replied, that's horrible. What's the bad news? Well, he said, the bad news is that I looked at the results of your test, and you have less than 24 hours to live. Oh, man, that is bad news. What could be worse than that? Well, said the doctor, the really bad news is that I was supposed to call you yesterday. Well, last week we saw the bad news about a fallen world. Now, I have some very bad news for you. And in this time, this week, maybe next week, I want to show you our part in a fallen world. If we get through this week and this subject, then it's going to be clear sailing. We're going to get back to the good news, and the good news that God is sovereign and that he's good. And that he's good all the time. We're going to spend a long time talking about that, but I've got to say what I've got to say, because the Bible says I've got to say it before we talk about the other stuff. And so kind of let me say, bad news is sometimes a matter of perspective. In a sense, all true news, even if it's bad news, can be good news. In other words, when you know the truth, you can act accordingly. The bad news of this week is like that too. Because it's true, you can live by it. What is bad news to some might be good news to others. I was talking to a friend who was depressed over Christmas. Her family lived over 2,000 miles away. She had no husband or children. Most of her friends were involved with their families. She had celebrated Christmas with some close friends, but she still felt so empty and so very sad. So she said this Christmas she got on her knees and she began to think, why am I so sad? And she heard a voice, and the voice said, this is not your party. Christmas is a celebration for Jesus, not for you. And the rest of the day she said she spent praising the one who had been born in a manger and who loved her enough to die for her on a cross. She visited the friends of Jesus in the hospitals and the nursing homes. And then she made some resolutions about her life, which she offered to Jesus as her gift for his birthday. Now, the good news that I want to tell you about this week and probably next week is that you've been invited to a party. And it really is. If you're a Christian, this is not some doleful, awful thing that you've got to do. I know it's bad. I know it hurts sometimes. I know it's you've been invited to a celebration. You've been invited to a party. And you say, well, what's the bad news? The bad news is that it isn't your party. If you think it's your party and you act accordingly, then the news that I'm going to tell you is going to be really, really bad news. But once you understand the one for whom the party is given, all things considered, it isn't such a bad party after all. I'm running out of time right now, and we're going to talk about it a lot more tomorrow, but make sure you get that straight. This world, the cosmos, everything that is, the party to which we have been invited by being given the gift of life is not our party. It's God's party. It's about Him. It's not about us. It's about His glory. You were created not to have a party for yourself, to be rather a part of the party for the God of the universe. You think about that. Amen. Well, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Hey, listen, if you haven't written or called about the booklet, Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? If you do it, we'll send it to you free and we'll pay the postage. The number is 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask for Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? And we'll send it to you absolutely free. If you're going through a difficult time or you know somebody who is, I think you'll find this booklet helpful. And when I say it's free, I really mean that, but that doesn't mean that it's free to us. When you help us, and only a very few of you guys are able to, and do, you help thousands of other Christians. And you can charge a contribution on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette teaching when you request it as my thank you, Singing in the Storm. What is your storm? Divorce? Trouble? Physical? Emotional pain? This tape is going to help. And all you got to do is request it when you send a contribution. Got to go. Do me a favor whenever you write or call. Would you give us the call letters of this great station? Oh, yes. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.